Sam Waterston is an award-winning actor in theater, film, and television, and is also chair of the board of Oceana. Since 2001, the largest global advocacy organization dedicated to protecting and restoring the world's oceans. He will discuss the state of the world's oceans and various efforts to make them healthier and more abundant when he speaks at the Salisbury Forum in a talk entitled A Plan of Action to Save Our Oceans and Climate on Friday, June 2nd at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School at 7:30 p.m. Waterston will describe some of the policy approaches and victories in countries that govern much of the world's marine life, as well as talk about the many challenges. It is a great pleasure and honor to welcome Sam Waterston to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a thrill to have you on the program.
It's my great pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Give us a sense, and I find the story fascinating, of how you came to this organization and why this was so important to you.
It's a good story, and I hope it resonates with other people from New England, too, because the beginning of how I got there was in the 1970s. I was lying on the beach reading the Sunday paper in Rhode Island, and I read about the collapse of the cod fishery, and I had grown up in New England, and it was beyond belief that the cod fishery had collapsed, that it could collapse. You know, it was the Grand Banks were part of the origin story, the idea of the inexhaustible sea, and cod were the iconic fish of the Grand Banks, and you know, Cape Cod was named after the cod fish, and I mean, it was as common as grass. There's a story I think that Thoreau told, that there were places on the coast of New England where a sailor could walk to the shore on the backs of the codfish. There were so many codfish from his boat to the shore without getting his feet wet. So it was unbelievable that this was gone, and yet it was, and it didn't bounce back, and I kept on reading the newspapers, waiting for better news, and it didn't come. I was carrying this bad feeling around with me for years and years and years, and then I luckily was found by Oceana. Two friends of mine were already working on it. Ted Danson was one of the founders of the organization, and he had come to be interested in this work because he was walking on the beach in California and his kids were getting oil tar on their feet. And he thought this was an offense that no kid should have to suffer. And that was the beginning of a long, long thread that led to the creation of Oceana in the first place. And so for me, it gave me a place to not despair, to do work, and then to see the work bear fruit, and you know, I don't know how you feel about the whole environmental challenge, but sometimes it just feels like a mountain too big to climb.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, and the thing about work in the oceans is that the ocean is so marvelously responsive that, you know, I was about to say, if you just do a few good things, well, I mean, if you just stop doing a few bad things,
right?
You know, it responds, you know, just astoundingly. So
obviously, it also of this idea of, okay, well, who owns the oceans, and how do you protect this? And what you have shown in this organization is that on a country by country basis, you can win policy victories that really go to restore and protect the oceans worldwide.
Yes. Part of what I hope to make some converts in the northeast corner. And part of the basis for it is that Oceana you know, it has a wonderful purpose, save the oceans and feed the world, but it also knows what it's doing. It knows how to get things done. And when it runs into trouble or frustration or its plan doesn't work, it goes back to the drawing board and makes a better plan and comes back again. You know, it's not enough just to have a good idea. You also really need to have an effective team, and that's what Oceana is.
Give us a sense of what you feel are some of the greatest challenges. I know plastic pollution is one. Others that come to your mind as of being real challenges, and the victories that you're looking for currently when it comes to Oceana.
If you look at the broad canvas of the challenges that the oceans are facing, the rise in temperature, the change in its chemistry, from carbon pollution and from temperatures rising, these are gigantic and global things, and they are some of them already baked in. We're going to suffer from them before they get better. But the ocean will respond if we just stop beating up on it so hard. So what Oceana does is it proceeds step by step. It in Chile, we just had our spring board meeting in Chile, and it was, Chile is an absolute inspiration. 20 years ago, when Oceana first started, it had 1% of its marine territory was protected. Industrial fishing was threatening Easter Island, Rapa Nui, and all the waters around it. And step by step, battling mining interests and other big interests, the same kinds of interests that the oceans have to deal with all around the globe and including in the United States, step by step, they thwarted a huge mining project. They protected the waters around Easter Island. They got sensible management of their fisheries so the mackerel and other fish could come back. They fought for regulation of the salmon industry, which was having a field day down there, doing things that would never be allowed, for example, in Norway. You know, every last one of these things, in spite of the big challenges of temperature and carbon pollution, give the oceans of Chile an opportunity, and they have bounded back.
When you look at what can be done even in New England and helping the fisheries and some of these issues that got you involved in Oceana in the first place of feeding people in a way that's climate safe and in reducing the pressure of biodiversity loss on the land, what hope do you have in that?
Oh, I have every hope. I mean, and I think that the reason I do is because I lucked out and I became involved in ocean advocacy, which, as I've been saying, you know, it rewards decent attention with success. So, and of course, as people are fond of saying, this is a man-made problem. So all we have to do is stop doing the stupid things that we have thought of to do and give the natural world a chance. And, you know, one of the things that was striking about Patagonia, there was a fire that was started by a camper in an area where nobody is allowed to set fires, and it went wild, and it scorched, I can't even tell you how many acres, but vast areas. And that's a slow recovery part of the world. So you could see the scar years later all over the mountainsides. And the thing about the ocean is that given half a chance, it rebounds dramatically. And so it's a very heartening part of the whole environmental world to be involved in.
Sam Waterston will be speaking on Friday, June 2nd, as part of the Salisbury Forum, a plan of action to save our oceans and climate, June 2nd at 7:30 at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School. I touched on this, but I'm interested in your thoughts of the issue, because I've heard you talk about this and I've heard Oceana speak about this quite a bit, and of what we can do about plastics and what we can do about plastics in the ocean.
Well, Oceana is concentrating on single-use plastic, and there is encouraging news. It can be done. People do it. Oceana is right now in the midst of a big campaign to persuade Amazon to make a difference in that area. Chile has already got one of the strongest plastic control laws in the world. I just heard a story that people in France are struck by how fast the regulations governing single-use plastics have become visible in France and Germany too. So this is something that, about which something can be done, and we shouldn't be thinking about it at the cleanup end. We should be thinking about it at the generation end. And, you know, it's a dramatic difference. If you want to control plastics, stop making more.
When you talk about the generation end, I mean, talk a little bit about that, because that's so important.
Well, single-use plastic is a perfect example. You get a plastic spoon with your ice cream, and you chuck it, or you get your toothpaste in a little single-use container, and you chuck it, and all of that stuff piles up. Stop having all of that stuff, and you will still have modern life as we know and love it, and you just won't generate so much plastic. It's a very simple and common sense idea, but what the industry has attempted to do is to make this a matter of personal responsibility, that you, because you have been the recipient of the plastic spoon, are responsible for it. But just don't make it, and then life will be simpler for all of us.
You said a moment ago that you're looking for converts in New England as you speak at the Salisbury Forum. How hard is that to do? And because it seems like it's something where there is momentum, and obviously people are going to come out, or I think feel somewhat not hopeless but helpless that they don't know what they can do to help.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the big takeaway that I have from my personal experience at Oceana is that the people who are working and making a difference there are not some special, unique category of particular geniuses or particular saints. This work is available to all of us to do, and we can all make a difference. So I'm hoping that some major donors will come to the Salisbury Forum and be converted. And I'm hoping that some people will listen and join the Wave Makers. And I hope that there will be some people who listen and decide that they're going to do something all on their own that doesn't have anything to do with Oceana but makes a difference. It's not like there's any shortage of things to do. We just need to not feel like we can't make a difference. And I hope that the examples that I'm going to give of the people who have worked for Oceana and are working for Oceana and where they came from will give courage to all of us, including me.
As an actor, has the writer's strike impacted your schedule?
Not yet, because we had just Law and Order had just gone on to hiatus. So I haven't felt it yet. But, you know, in August and September, if they haven't resolved it. A lot of shows went into hiatus
sure. In
the spring. And so, but it's a good fight. They have reason to be concerned, and they're right to struggle, I think. And I hope it ends well. And I think when it does end well for the writers, it will end well for the business.
Right. And you look forward to getting back to work, I assume.
Yeah, I love to work. I love working. I've always liked it.
Well, it'd be great to have you back on Law & Order, and I just want to personally thank you for the character of Charlie Skinner in The Newsroom.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks, Orkin.
It's an amazing piece of work, and just incredible. Sam Waterston, I thank you so much for being with us. You are going to be at the Salisbury Forum talking about Oceana and your work there as chair. It all takes place on June 2nd, and you can find out more information by going to salisburyforum.org. A Plan of Action to Save Our Oceans and Climate with Sam Waterston, Friday, June 2nd at 7:30 at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School, salisburyforum.org. Sam Waterston, thank you so much for being with us. What an honor to have you on the program.
You're so welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the talk is A Plan of Action to Save Our Oceans and Climate, taking place at the Salisbury Forum at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School at 7:30. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.